Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 18 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And NFL Combine in full swing now. Day two, defensive backs and tight ends. So the defensive backs, they were actually split up between the corners and the safeties. And I'll tell you what, the corners, that group was led by Maxwell Hairston, the first to break 4.3, running a 4.2, 8.40. I think everyone was kind of expecting to see that number and then to actually see him go out and do that. Obviously that's going to help his draft stock. He's one of those guys that I had kind of as a fringe, second round potential first. I think that really pushes him into round number one. And then at the safety position, has there been a talent to showcase themselves at the combine better than Nicky Mamwori? 6'3", 220 pounds, runs a 4.3, 8.40, 1.49, 10-yard split, 43-inch vertical leap, and then 11.6 in the broad jump. Then he throws up 225, 20 times to top it all off. But you saw after he broke 4.4, he said, that was it, I'm done. No more drills, no more workout. I think he knows that he solidified his status as a first-round safety, and he will be the number one safety off the board. We'll talk about Malachi Starks here in a second. And then you transition to the tight ends. That's the first group because you're going to have quarterbacks, running backs, receivers on Saturday, followed by the offensive linemen on Sunday. So the tight end group, I think with Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, our top two tight ends, not working out. You look at this guy. I think the Mason Taylor was the guy, the clubhouse leader when it was all said and done. I think Harold Fannin Jr. also had a nice day. But look, Mason Taylor, even though he did not run the 40, this guy looks so incredibly smooth, tracking the ball over his shoulder, catching the ball out in front with his hands over that outside shoulder, and then watching him on the gauntlet. This was a guy that was staying straight down that line, looking so smooth, effortless, catching the ball away from his frame. Just an easy, easy day of it. And he was moving fast through that drill as well. I think, you watch some of the other guys like C.J. Dupree, Thomas Fedoni were a couple of guys that that just looked like they weren't moving all that fast. I think Maliki Motaval as well. But, Mason Taylor to me, I think, really helped his draft stock. He's a guy that I can see coming off the board in round number two. So let's go ahead, get back to the corners. Who else had a nice day? I think Jahdae Barron, you have to talk about him, 5'11", 194 pounds. 4.39, 40, 35-inch vertical leap. This is a guy that can play all over that secondary, right? He did so for the Texas Longhorns, both in the nickel and then also on the outside. I think you see that speed. He has plenty of vertical speed. He has those 29 and 5/8-inch arms, and at 5'11", 194 pounds. You worry about the length. You worry about him potentially getting rerouted, losing some of that, those 50-50 balls, although he did have a 35-inch vertical leap. That kind of tempers a little bit of that. But I still think when you look at Jahdae Barron, he's a guy that's going to come off the board in round number one. I think the instincts, especially playing in off coverage, in zone primarily, this is a dude that, just instincts for days, ball skills, he was very impressive. I thought Trey Amos definitely helped himself at 6'1", 195, ran a 4.4, 3.40. This is a guy that was in that next tier of corners. There were a lot of guys that are injured, Siobhan Revelle and Benjamin Morrison. Even on the top tier with Will Johnson, he also wasn't able to work out due to some injuries. Travis Hunter decided not to work out. So I think Trey Amos in that group, with Azariah Thomas, he's in that group with at the aforementioned, Max Hairston. There's a lot of guys that you could kind of look at in that second group of corners. And I thought Trey Amos kind of helped separate himself a little bit, showing off some of that speed. And then you got to see the fluidity in the drills as well, able to flip those hips and turn and run. Not really any stiffness to those hips at all. So definitely impressed there. Robert Longerbeam out of Rutgers, 5'11", 175 pounds. I think a guy that's probably going to line up more in the slot than anything else, but ran a 4.39, 40, showcasing that speed. But then 11.2 broad jump, so a guy that absolutely can elevate and jump. showing off some of that lower body explosiveness. I thought Darian Porter out of Iowa State, look, this guy didn't play a ton of games there for the Cyclones, but at 6'3", 195, we knew he was a track guy. We knew he was going to stand out. Ran a 4.3 40, 10.11 in the broad jump, and then a 36.5-inch vertical leap. Also, three-cone drill, sub-7, just barely on that short shuttle, 4.04, just missed breaking 4 seconds. You know, very fluid mover for a guy his size. That was one of the things that I thought stood out. Caleb Ransaw out of Tulane, I thought, had a great day as well. 5.11, 197, 40-inch vertical leap, ran a 4.33, 40. Another guy who looks incredibly smooth. I think he'll probably be a nickel at the next level, but definitely a guy that stood out, you know, as a just the fluidity and just his ability to change directions. You saw all of that on display. So those were, I think, the corners that really stood out for me. Some of the guys, you know, the taller guys that, you know, I think running a 4.56 was Zy Alexander. You know, I think he'll have an opportunity there at LSU's Pro Day to run a little bit faster. I thought, you know, Jalen Smith is a name that's continuing to rise up some draft boards out of USC. 5'10 and a half, 187 pounds. Look, he was a nickel at USC. Danson Ling gets there and decides, you know what, this guy's got outside skills. Moves into the outside, excelled there for the Trojans, really led that secondary group. And, you know, 4.45, 40, not the most, you know, in terms of the elevation, just a 32.5-inch vertical leap. But, you know, he's a guy that I think, because of that versatility, you know, you're going to see some good things there. Upton Stout, you know, I was surprised he came in at 5'8.5", but 181 pounds. So, you know, the feistiness, you know, he's not undersized by any means, you know, in terms of his build. 4.44, 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap. So even though he's on the smaller side from a quarterback position, definitely a guy that can elevate and make a play on the football. You know, I thought Justin Wally helped himself running a 4.4. You know, Jacob Parrish is an interesting guy. You know, he's very handsy, but at 5'10", 191 pounds, runs a 4.35, 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap, showing off the athleticism. If he would just trust the technique, trust the speed, trust the makeup speed, I think he's a guy that could end up surprising at the next level. And then Quincy Riley, 5'11", 194 pounds. This is a guy that I think, you know, showed that he can play on the outside at the Senior Bowl. Very patient, excellent ball skills, 4.48, 40. Looked very smooth in the drills, especially with, you know, flipping those hips, those transitions. And I'll give you one other name to look out for, and that's Bilal Kone out of Western Michigan. Group of five guys, 6'1", 190 pounds. You know, 6'1", running a 4.43, 40. That's something that I thought definitely stood out. You know, and a guy that could flip those hips a little bit, you know, seeing him going up and down the hash, he was able to get the hips turned around, you know, and a pretty good catcher of the football as well. So those were the guys that I thought stood out at the cornerback position. Now at the safety, obviously we talked about Nicky Mamwori and how special the combine performance was for him, but he wasn't alone. I thought Billy Bowman had a great combine. You know, 5'10", 192 pounds, ran a 4.42, 40, 35.5-inch vertical leap, put up 225 17 times. But this is a guy, he's instinctive. He has the ball skills, drives on the football. You know, I think he had 3 pick sixes there at OU. You know, a kid that just always is around the football, and a guy that stands out as a potential day 2 pick. Another guy that I think is coming off the board, probably in round number 3, is Andrew Mukuba out of Texas. 5'11", 186 pounds, runs that 4.4, 5.40. If he can get the tackling down, this guy is a guy that I think will be starting at the next level for a long time. Has the ability to cover a little bit, can also, you know, play in the box, and very instinctive, plays fast, you know, trusts his eyes, can also play, you know, over the top. So I thought he definitely stood out. Craig Woodson out of Cal, you know, I thought, you know, rave reviews there. 6 foot, 200, running a 4.4, 5.40. You know, Hunter Wohler, you know, he got down to you know, at 6'2", 213. I think they talked about on the broadcast not really wanting to play that linebacker position. Runs a 4.57, 40, so 37-inch vertical leap, but it was at 6.72, 3-cone drill. I thought that was really something that stood out. You know, the best among all of the safeties, you know, really being able to sink those hips and drive out of those breaks, the stop and the start, you know, I thought was impressive. I thought Sebastian Castro, he's not really known for the speed, but he looked a little slow out there. You know, just a 30.5-inch vertical leap. The lower body explosiveness, I don't think, was really there. Runs a 4.34 short shuttle, you know, which was on the slower side for the safety group. 30 and three-quarters inch arms. at 5'11", 203, and then runs a 4.59 40. You watched him in the gauntlet. It was really, you know, it was slow paced. That was one of the things that really stood out for me was, you know, it was a lot slower than a lot of these other guys running that drill, and I thought that definitely cost him. But I mentioned we were going to talk about Malachi Starks. We'll go ahead and do that now. At 6'1", 197, runs a 4.5 40, and, you know, just looked very smooth. I think that's one of the things that absolutely jumps out when you watch him, you know, able to sink the hips, you know, and be able to flip those in a hurry, turn, run, locate the football, be able to make a play on the ball. Malachi Starks, for me, is a guy that definitely helped himself. Watching Dante Trader, he was a guy that, you know, not a natural pass catcher of the football. Malik Verdon, out of Iowa State, a guy that just was too high in his back pedal, needs to improve there. I thought Elijah Clark out of Syracuse, 6'1", 188, ran a 4.5 40, but just looked very smooth in a lot of the drills. Lathan Ransom was another one who looked incredibly smooth as well, 6'2", 206. And then Jonas Sanker, I think a guy that, you know, probably in that late day two, early day three out of Virginia, a guy that, you know, flies around, makes plays, you know, racked up a ton of tackles for the Cavaliers, runs a 4.48 40 at 6'206. Some of the longer arms at 32 and a quarter inches at the position as well. You know, the guys that we didn't get to see, obviously, you know, are Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. He was a guy that I think a lot of people were looking forward to seeing, at least in some of the drills. I think day two pick for Xavier Watts. So he's got that receiver background, so he's able to show off some cover skills and runs the route sometimes better than the receivers. Kevin Winston out of Penn State, you know, 6'1", 215. You know, he's coming back from the injury that he sustained early on in the season. You know, it's one of those things to where he's going to have to prove, you know, those medicals have to be huge for him, making sure that he's all the way back from the knee injury. But look, you know, in his stead, I thought Jalen Reed really, you know, stepped up there at Penn State. 6 foot, 211, one of the heavier safeties in this group. Ran a 4.49 40. You know, looked pretty smooth out there as well. So, you know, a lot of guys that caught your eye from the safety group. I think there are going to be a lot of guys that, you know, there's some versatility to this group and a lot of ball hawks. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I think you only have one safety come off the board in round number one. That's going to be Nick Emanwori. I think he's solidified that. I think the question is whether or not Malachi Starks is round one or round two. I think Xavier Watts is absolutely going to be a round two guy. Billy Bowman probably in that round three along with Andrew Makuba. I think Kevin Winston probably comes off the board in round number three as well. Lathan Ransom is probably kind of that borderline type of a guy. So those were some of the guys, again, safety position that stood out. You know, Marcus Siegel, you know, if I could just mention him, Siegel out of Kansas State, 5'11", 199 pounds, 4.37, 40, 38-inch vertical leap, really showing off incredible athleticism. And then Keaton Crawford out of Nevada, 5'11", 202, really need to showcase and emerge as an athlete. He absolutely did that. 4.41, 40, 41.5-inch vertical leap, and then a 6.81, 3-cone drill. That was second only to Hunter Wohlers, and then runs a 4.03 short shuttle. So this was definitely a guy that needed to kind of separate himself as an athlete, really make a name for himself, and I thought he absolutely was able to do that coming out of Nevada. So then you have to change, you know, switch gears a little bit, right? You've seen a lot of really the fast athletes that are the corners and the safeties, and now you're transitioning to the tight ends. Traditionally not going to be nearly as fast. I think they said the top 10 tight ends ran a 4.6 40 on average, which still with this group, you know, we didn't have anyone hit that 4.61, but what you did see was Terrence Ferguson really kind of setting the tone there. 6'5", 247, ran a 4.63 40, 39-inch vertical leap, so tremendous athlete. And you saw him with some of the route running ability at the Senior Bowl, you know, quick head fakes to the outside and then coming across on a post. And same thing with some of his corner routes as well. Just some of those subtle movements in his route running and ability to come back to the football for Dylan Gabriel as well. I thought he definitely helped himself. Could he be a late day two guy? You know, I think probably, you know, in round number four. But when you watched him hit the sled, he definitely got a hold of that sucker and drove it back. Really an impressive day there for Terrence Ferguson. I mentioned Mason Taylor at 6'5", 251. Again, very smooth. I think that was really the definition there. And with Warren and Loveland gone, you know, just they were there, but they didn't actually work out at all. So, you know, we're going to have to wait for their pro days. But with them gone from the competition, it was really Mason Taylor that I think, as you're looking at the roster, you know, should step out and emerge. And he absolutely did that. You know, Elijah Arroyo, the knee injury ultimately puts him out of action. But I think beyond that, Harold Fannin Jr., 6'3", 241, runs a 4.7, 140. But it was a 6.97 in the three-cone drill, so second only to Jalen Conyers. So it's one of those things to where I don't think he's all that, you know, he's incredibly fast, but it's one of those things to where he's sudden, and he's able to get himself open because of that. And so, you know, you're not going to see a huge yards per reception or a ton of yards after catch. He was able to do that at Bowling Green. And was able to do that against A&M and Penn State. And I think in the bowl game, he had like 17 catches for 213 yards. I think that was what Daniel Jeremiah quoted. So I'm just thinking off the top of my head, if I remember correctly off of the broadcast. But, you know, Fannin still reminds me a lot of Isaiah Likely, and a guy that I think, you know, round two, maybe, I think probably round number three. He's a little bit slower, but incredibly productive, and he's a pretty darn good blocker there as well. I thought Jalen Conyers had a really nice day. Conyers out of Texas Tech, formerly of Arizona State, 6'3", 260 pounds, a lot heavier than I was expecting, you know, him to come in. Ran a 4.7, 4.40. You know, like I said, you know, was the clubhouse leader there with three-cone drill at a 6.94. And a guy that I thought caught the ball really well, very smooth on the gauntlet, catching the ball away from his frame, looked very natural as a pass catcher. You know, Joshua Simon, very fast in the, you know, ran a 4.65, so he was the second fastest guy in the 40 at 6'4 and 239 pounds, 38-inch vertical leap, looked very explosive coming down the line in the gauntlet, running at full speed. This is a guy that, you know, he's incredibly athletic. We definitely saw that. The change of direction, you know, you saw three cone drill, you know, and the short shuttle, not nearly as fast with those change of direction, but this is a guy that can take the top off, you know, against some of those linebackers and such. Gunnar Helm of Texas, 6'5", 241. I wasn't expecting him to run all that fast, but he ran a 4.93 with his first attempt. Second one was a 4.84. So not a guy that's going to be a burner, only a 30-inch vertical leap. But a guy that was incredibly effective coming up, you know, up the seam, was finding ways to get open with his route running, and then really an effective blocker there for Texas. Aronde Gadsden the second out of Syracuse, 6'5", 243. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be a move tight end. You're going to move him in the slot. You're going to allow him to kind of make some plays out there. You know, could he be a Darren Waller type and kind of develop a little bit further into that type of a playmaker? Remember, Darren Waller at one point was a receiver at Georgia Tech before really bulking up and transitioning to that tight end position. I think Aronde Gadsden has a chance to do that. You saw some very, you know, he was very smooth in the drills. You know, Mitchell Evans at 6'5", 258, 4.7, 440. You know, I mentioned in the previous podcast as well that, you know, he just looked a step slow out there on the field. I thought, you know, in terms of the movement, he looked a little bit better in at the combine in his performance. But again, a guy that I worry about being able to get open at the next level. Bryson Nesbitt for me from North Carolina at 6'5 and just 238 pounds. A disappointing 4.88 40. You also saw him kind of weaving in the gauntlet, catching the football. You know, Nesbitt's a guy that really is going to be that move tight end. You know, and the fact that, you know, ultimately you see that time, he was one of the go-to targets there for the Tar Heels, and was one of those weapons that you were thinking, all right, maybe an NFL team would get excited to use. I remember Jaheim Bell, you know, was a little undersized, ends up coming off the board late. I think Nesbitt, just because of that lack of overall speed, he's got the height, and I think that's going to be something that teams are going to wrap themselves around. But I think late day three now, really, for Bryson Nesbitt. I'm getting to see Robbie Utes out there at 6'3", 274, runs a 4.9, 140. That's really not what he's there for. Same thing with Jackson Hawes at 6'4 and a half, 253 pounds, 4.82. These are two guys that are going to be blockers at the next level. I mentioned Ko Kieft. Ko Kieft wound up coming off the board in round number six to the Minnesota Vikings. And with Ko Kieft, 6'5", 265, number 218 overall, and runs a 4.9, 8.40. So bench press 221 or 225 21 times. So ultimately, I look at Utes
I look at Hawes, you're right in that range back with Co-Keith. So just because you don't run a fast 40, if you can block, you can find yourself taken in the late rounds and have a productive NFL career. So, you know, nothing to take anything away from those guys. Jake Brittingstool, 6'6", 241. You know, arm length actually was a bit of a surprise. Only 31 and a half inches. Runs a 4.75 40, just a 31-inch vertical leap. You know, he looked to be a much more explosive athlete than what he really displayed out there. So that was a bit of a surprise. You know, if we talk about, you know, again, Mitchell Evans, numbers were pretty comparable with Brittingstool. I thought, honestly, that Brittingstool was going to be a better athlete than he was. You know, at least what was showcased there at the combine. So just to give you guys a comparison. We talk about Sam Laporta, one of the best young tight ends in the league. So he was drafted number 34 overall in the 2023 draft, 6'3 and a quarter, 245 at the combine, runs a 4.59 40, 32 and an eighth inch arms as well, 35 inch vertical leap, broad jumps 10.3, 16 reps in the bench press. So, you know, he did everything there at the combine, 6.91 in the three cone drill as well. So some of that explosiveness was really on display. And so I think when you look at this group, there are a couple of guys that have that similar explosiveness. Nobody near as fast as him, but you saw a few guys with those numbers. And I think if there was anyone that had to stand out, it was probably Terrence Ferguson. I thought Jalen Conyers as well, from just that athleticism. And then Joshua Simon. Those were the three that stood out, I think, in terms of just the ability to catch the football and just make it look easy. Again, Mason Taylor and then everybody else. I thought Harold Fannin looked solid. I thought Aronde Gadsden looked solid catching the football. But again, you know, I think Mason Taylor was the guy at the end of the day. He just seems like a guy that's just bound and determined and ready for the NFL. And, you know, having a Hall of Fame father like Jason Taylor, I think he's been primed and ready to go for quite some time. So that's what we saw on day two of the combine. Next, we're going to see the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. You know, quarterbacks, who all is going to work out? Shedeur Sanders is not. So, you know, getting to see guys like Jalen Milroe, can he improve upon that throwing that we saw there at the Senior Bowl? Jackson Dart. What is he going to do? Is he going to be working out? What are we going to see there? You know, there's a big group of quarterbacks, Will Howard, Riley Leonard, Kyle McCord. You know, this is their time to kind of help separate things. I think teams have already got their draft boards pretty much set, but if there are quarterbacks that are similar in terms of the draft grade, I think this could kind of help the teams maybe tip in their favor. But again, most of the time they have their draft board set. If anything else, you know, that maybe, you know, pull them to actually take a look at their film a little bit more. You get to the running backs, Travion Henderson, you know, just how fast is he going to run? Jadon Blue has said that he's going to be running in the 4.1s and 4.2s. I'll believe it when I see it, but, you know, definitely want to see what that looks like. And then you've got, you know, Omarion Hampton, you got Caleb Johnson, Quinshon Judkins. How fast are those guys going to run? Definitely looking forward to seeing that. Is Cam Scadaboo going to run a 40? I think everyone wants to see just how fast he can run. I think you've got guys like RJ Harvey. You've got guys like Rashard Smith, Faisal Tooten. Those are guys that I think you're going to see some explosiveness come out of them. So be looking forward to the running back group. I think it's really a deep group. And then you get to the receivers. And, you know, it sounds like maybe Luther Burden might be working out. I don't think Emeka Ibuka is. Travis Hunter's already said, you know, he was working out with the corners anyway, and he didn't work out. I don't think Tet McMillan is going to work out. You know, but a guy like Matthew Golden, if he can set a really fast time, I think, you know, he can do exactly what Xavier Worthy did, rise up those draft boards. Look, you know, Ricky Pearsall was another guy that really, really stood out at the combine, because this was a guy that was really a precise route runner and, you know, just really impressed throughout the season, and then runs a 4.41 40 at 6.1 189, ends up finding himself in round number one. You know, or the bigger receivers, Trey Harris, Jaden Higgins, are we going to get to see them run? I want to see what Torrey Horton can do from Colorado State. This guy, you know, was just a monster for the Rams, difficult to cover, excellent route running. So you want to see what that looks like for sure. I think this is a group that, you know, there isn't a ton of depth at the top, but there are a lot of guys that are intriguing, that are interesting, and you can get a little bit of everything. You got some of the bigger physical receivers that I've already mentioned with Higgins and Harris. Elik Iomanner is a physical presence for Stanford, and then Jack Besh out of TCU, the Senior Bowl MVP. This dude catches everything thrown his way. Is he going to work out? Want to see what he can do there in this group as well. So a lot of athletes, a lot of guys that I think everyone's going to be excited to see perform. Really want to see what everybody's going to be running. I think that's going to be the big key for a lot of these receivers. I just remember back to when Anquan Boldin was running his 40 at the combine. I actually had him mocked in round number one. I thought that the Eagles were going to take him in the first round. So I was really excited about his play there at Florida State. In 2003, he was the second round pick, number 54 overall, runs a 4.71 40. It's 6'5", 216 pounds. So any chance that he really had, only a 33.5-inch vertical leap, broad jump of 9.6, not overly explosive by any means. But I think any chance of him getting round one went out the window with that 4.71 40. So obviously we know what type of a player Anquan Boldin turned out to be. So he's a guy that, again, I look back to and I say with the 40s, you know what? It'll at least help some of that draft stock. If you run fast, it can sink you down at least a round if you run a slow time. I'm looking at Matthew Golden, though. If he can run a pretty quick time, break that sub 4.45 comfortably, he could end up being a first round pick everything is all said and done. So I think it's an interesting group, like I said, and be excited to see these quarterbacks throwing to the running backs and receivers. I mentioned the running backs earlier. LaQuint Allen, Woody Marks, excellent pass catchers. Devin Neal's another one that I think is a really good pass catcher. Cam Scadaboo, again, if we get to see him work out. RJ Harvey, athletic, want to see him catch the football. Ollie Gordon II, didn't have to catch the football a ton there at Oklahoma State. Want to see what he can do there. Donovan Edwards just looks like a receiver, so I'll be interesting to see him catching the football. Caleb Johnson at Iowa didn't have to catch the football a ton, so want to see how he looks, how fluid he is as a pass catcher. So a lot to digest, a lot to really sink in with this group. I'm looking forward to it. Day 3 of the combine. Let's go. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone, and until next time, I am out of here.